Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Now, why don't you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We got one more chapter and then we will finish the book of Thessalonians. And I hear from different people that it has been a very interesting book. It has been a book that opened their eyes to what God has for us as His people. And so when you look at 2 Thessalonians, this is the question. What is truth? What is truth? You know, this is the question that Pilate asked Jesus when Jesus stand before him at the judgment seat. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? When Pilate asked this question, what is truth? You know, he asked it in a very cynical way, and he asked it because he don't believe. There was unbelief in his heart. But when he asked this question, what is truth? Pilate was looking at who? He was looking at the person of truth. Jesus is truth. But he refused. He refused to accept and embrace the truth. This is how the world is today regarding truth. But Jesus said something in John chapter 18, verse 37, when he told Pilate. But Jesus said, actually, I was born and I came into the world to testify of the truth. Jesus said, I came so that people know what is truth. And then he said this thing, all who love the truth. Now, you need to love the truth in order to know the truth. If you don't love the truth, you will never know the truth. But Jesus said to Pilate, when you ask the question, what is truth? And here I am the truth. And he said, I'm here to speak of the truth, to declare to you the truth, to testify of the truth, and those who love the truth. And we need to be a people who what? Love the truth. And Jesus said that those who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. Wow, this is very powerful. Why don't we pray? Father, we come to you this morning because we love the truth, we want the truth, and we want to open our hearts to you who is the truth. So Lord, we ask, touch us, speak to our hearts, and let us know and become built in the truth of God's word. So Lord, we just thank you for everyone that is here. Anoint your speaker, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What is truth? You see, we are living a time where the goalpost of truth is changed, repositioned, and refined every day. Every generation seems to have an aspect of what is truth. There are many voices in our world regarding what is truth. The voices of our world say truth is subjective. That means what? It's based on a person's perception. It's based on a person's feeling and opinion. If you feel and think it is truth, then it is truth. How do you like that? None of our feelings are the same, you know. And to them who believe that truth is subjective, that there is nothing sure and concrete about truth. Truth depends on how you and other sees. And if you and I see the same thing, then this is true. It is wonderful. What about if you and I see it differently? Well, if you and I see it differently, you know, then we need to have what we call, you got to be more tolerant. You got to be more, you know, loving, more kind. So you have to respect each other's truth. This is how the world sees. Truth is just subjective. When I get my bank statement, and when I get the bank statement, whether through mail or through the internet, and my bank statement say, I have zero in the bank statement, is that truth or how I feel or how I think? I'll tell you what.
I can think and feel that that is wrong, that the statement that say I have zero is wrong. I can go to the ATM machine and press as much time as I want. No money is going to come out. That's the truth. I can go to the bank counter and talk to the lady till my face is white. She ain't going to give me a cent because the bank statement say I have what? Nothing. That's the truth. You see, if truth is based on subjective truth, if I think it's true, if I feel it's true, then it is no truth at all. So about truth that is based on situation truth. You see, we live in this world, we call situation truth. That means if the situation say this is true, this is true. If we all say this is okay, this is okay. If it's popular, you know, and it's according to our culture and society, and everybody say it's okay, it is okay. Our postmodern world do not believe in absolute truth. I'm talking to Christian today. I'm talking to a Christian in the second generation. The world do not believe in absolute truth. But we need to. We as God's children need to believe that there is an absolute truth. That we hear and recognize the voice of absolute truth. And this absolute truth that we talk about is not based on feeling or popularity or what is the norm of the day. This absolute truth we talk about is based on one person. That person is Jesus Christ. He said, everyone who is of the truth, hear my voice. Again, he spoke 2,000 years ago to his disciple, I am the truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6. Today, he is still the truth. Forever, he is the truth. The changing world does not change the truth of who Jesus is and what he said and what he did. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth, the truth for all time, for all place, and all circumstances. That's why he alone is the absolute truth. You want to know the absolute truth? If you want to know the absolute truth, is this not working? This is the truth, it's not working. Second one, please. If you want to know the absolute truth, we must know the person Jesus Christ. He said, that I am the truth. That you must know his word. Because his word is truth. In Psalm 119 verse 160, he said, the very essential of your word is truth. And he said in John chapter 17 verse 17, your word is truth. So if you want to know the absolute truth, know the person of Jesus Christ. Know his word, which is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not. Then you need to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that will guide us to all truth. Today we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look from verse 1 to verse 17. And the pastoral team entitled this chapter, Grip on the Truth. Grip on the truth. Turn with me to that chapter. A grip on the truth. Two spirits is operating in our world. The spirit of truth and the spirit of lie and deception. Whenever there is genuine, there is counterfeit. Whenever there is real, that is fake. We know there's a lot of fake news that is happening in our time. Whenever there is truth, there is false. a grip on the truth. When Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, thanks Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he commanded that the Thessalonian believers were unshaken. They held on to the truth. They stood firm to the truth in times of affliction. In fact, they hold on to this truth of who Jesus is and what he says, that they live actively their faith, their hope, and their love to one another and to the world. In fact, Paul said that they were not ignorant of when and how of Christ's return. They look forward to his return with great expectation to hear the trumpet call and the Lord Jesus coming for his church, the bride of Jesus Christ, called the rapture. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, less than a year later, Paul wrote this chapter because someone has moved among the believers and deceived them that the day of the Lord is already here. It was not from Paul or someone in the team of Paul, but someone from outside had come in and give this fake news that the rapture has taken place, that the trumpet of the call of the Lord has been blown, that Christ had taken back the church and the Thessalonians are left behind. Not only are the Thessalonians left behind, Paul and the team are also left behind. And the day of the Lord is already here. You see, when this news came to the Thessalonian church, the Bible tells us that they were shaken and they were troubled by the fake news. We have a lot of fake news today in our world. We need to know what is true and what is not true. And when this fake news came, they said that Paul and the others and they themselves have been left behind, that Jesus Christ had came, he has took the church back, and all these poor Thessalonians have been left behind. Paul wrote to them in verse 2 and say, "Do not be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Do not believe them. Even they claim to have a special vision, a revelation, or a letter supposed from us. Do not." That's the thing, is that whatever people say, even they have a dream or a vision, always go back to where? Always go back to the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. It never changes. It never changes. The Word never changes. So Paul said, "Hey, all this fake news that you hear about, you have been left behind. Why don't you go back to the Word? Why don't you go back to what the Bible says?" And when they say that you have been left behind and the day of the Lord is already here, you see, they were going to some problem, they were going through some affliction and trouble. How many of you got no trouble? How many of you got no problem? They were going through some tribulation, and Jesus said that in this world, you will have what? You will have tribulation. You will have frustration. You will have problem. You will have trouble. It is in this fallen world. And so when the Thessalonian church went through this period of trouble, they think that the day of the Lord is already here, and they have been left behind. But Paul want them to know that the day of the Lord is not here yet. What is the day of the Lord? In short, the day of the Lord is the time when God will judge the world and punish the nation. It's the same time when God will prepare Israel for the return of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom, the 1,000-year reign on earth. The day of the Lord will begin after the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 18. And when the church is raptured, it's followed by the 7 years of tribulation. Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19 talk about the day of the Lord. And that period is also called the time of Jacob's trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, this is what the scripture say: "In all history, there has never been such a time of terror.
it will be a time of trouble for my people Israel. Yet, in the end, they will be saved. So Paul again affirmed the truth that is in God's word regarding Christ's return and the day of the Lord. He told them that both of these things will only take place not in our timetable, but in God's timetable. He was telling the Thessalonian church that we cannot fulfill it, we cannot shorten it or hasten it when the time is ripe. When the time is ripe. When the time is ripe and when it is correct timing. And certain event in the world that needs to happen, he will return. And the church, for his church, and the day of the Lord will begin. So when you look at scripture, according to Paul, there are certain events that need to take place for the day of the Lord to begin. The first event that needs to take place is the rapture. Look at verse 1. Now, dear brother and sister, let us clarify something about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Paul talked about the rapture. The teaching of the rapture, we will be gathered to meet him, is not to scare you, but to prepare you. This is the hope of every believer, those that are asleep in Christ and those that are awake, that when he comes, we will be taken by him. And the Bible said that we are to encourage one another with this hope that we have, because this hope helps us to live a life to please him. And this hope makes us ever ready when he comes for his church, the bride of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells, once the church is out of the world, the day of the Lord, the 7 years of tribulation, sometimes called the great tribulation, that is never seen or heard before, begins. When you look at the pain and the suffering of our present time, or what the world is going through, is only a speck of what is to come. Jesus said this word, unless that time or calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen people. Jesus said that when it comes, it will be so terrible that no one can survive unless it is shortened. And Jesus said it will be shortened for God's chosen people. Is this spirit in the day of the Lord, in the tribulation, where Israel will cry to God for deliverance and God will deliver them because of his covenant and his mercy? This is what the Old Testament say in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and on the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn who has died. That time will come when God will remember his covenant with Israel. God has not forgotten Israel. Israel are God's chosen people. This is the time of grace that he has come to the Gentiles. But a time will come where God will reach forth to Israel. The church can never replace Israel. It is God's chosen people. We are grafted in, say amen. We are grafted in because of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible always encourages us to pray for Israel. To pray for them. Now, so Paul said, for the day of the Lord to begin, there must be the rapture. Then, till the rapture take place, there are work for the church to do. God has given us the Holy Spirit. So the church, while waiting for the Lord to come, to take us in the air, we need to be busy doing the Father's business, looking after the Father's house, involving in the Father's work. We need to be. How do we do it? Well, let our faith be active. Let our hope always be expecting him. And let our love be generous.
Paul said to the Thessalonian church, as I'm saying to you today, what we are seeing in the world today is just a speck of what is to come. But I'm not going to be here, say amen. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. Then Paul said that before the day of the Lord will come, there needs to be the rapture. The second thing that needs to happen in the world is the Antichrist. Look at verse 3 to verse 5. Do not be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defile everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. The Antichrist. We know from Scripture that the spirit of the Antichrist is already operating in this world. How do we know that? First John chapter 4, verse 3 tells us, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has a spirit of Antichrist, which we hear is coming into the world and indeed is already here. So Paul, John, the beloved, said that there is a spirit of Antichrist that is operating in our world. And he said that one you are seeing that is coming and is already here. So what does it mean when the scripture says it is coming and is already here? It means this, that we are going to see an intensity, an increase of the spirit and the operation of the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says, an increase, an intensity. So the Antichrist must come. And it's a building up till the Antichrist is revealed totally. The world is in a mess. How many realize that? The world is in a mess. And the world is looking for a man to solve their political problem, their financial problem. If American dollar collapsed, the whole world is in trouble. You know, and it's trying to solve their religious problem. The world is in a mess. They are looking for someone. And that someone, according to Scripture, will come before rapture of the church. I'm saying to you, not what I'm saying, it's what the Bible says. And how does he come? He come as a fake peacemaker. According to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, he come as a rider on a white horse with a bow, but no arrow. He will bring a time of peace in the world, as what we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Peace, peace, peace. And all of a sudden, what happened? Hell break loose. He will come and bring a brief time of peace in the world before the storm of the day of the Lord break loose. He is the false peacemaker. He comes as the faith protector. According to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to verse 27. Israel, till today, is preparing to build the third temple. Are you all aware of that? The article for the Old Testament temple, they are preparing it, they are making. Israel is preparing to build the third temple. When Donald Trump declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it changed the political scene and the religious scene in Israel. In the Old Testament, when the male goes to the temple, they need to convert to a shekel to enter the temple. The shekel for the temple. The old shekel has the face of King Cypher. You remember Israel were in captivities. They were sent to Babylon, to the foreign land. It was King Cypher that allowed them to come back to rebuild the temple.
the new shaker has got the face of King Cypher behind and the face of Donald Trump in front. Because when he's declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it changed the world scene. Because it is in that mountain. It is in that mountain where Israel is preparing to build the third temple. Is it possible to build the third temple in Jerusalem, in Mount Moriah? Mount Moriah is the place where Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac. Is it possible? In the human mind, it is impossible. Because on Mount Moriah, at this present moment, is the Muslim mosque called the Dome of the Rock, right on top. When, in the time of the Crusader, when Saladin took over the place, he built that mosque there. So, in the human eyes, can you remove the mosque and build a third temple? It's not possible. You need a man. And the Antichrist, he is the false protector. You know, he will come and he will make a covenant with Israel to protect her and to permit her to build the third temple. Then there will be peace in the Middle East. But it's only a temporary peace. Paul called him the man of lawlessness. After 3.5 years of peace, he will be the peace breaker and the persecutor of Israel. And he will enter the third temple as God to be worshipped. Here is where the mark of the beast 666 takes place. When you have this mark on your right hand or on your forehead, if you don't have this mark, you cannot buy or sell. But we are not here. The church is raptured and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. When it comes to end time prophecy, we must never get caught with end time prophecy. When it comes to end time prophecy, we must be what? Christ focused. Amen. Not end time focused. Christ focused builds character. Christ's focus may us live in the power of the simplicity of the gospel. I want you to realize that the gospel is very simple. How many realize that? The gospel is very simple, but through our human thinking, through our smartness, we have made the gospel very complicated. The gospel is very simple. I'm a sinner. No one can save me. Jesus died on the cross. And if I believe in him, I'm a child of God. And my life is forgiven. And my life is changed to be like who? Like Jesus. That's the gospel. And how do I become like Jesus? Is to be like him in how I behave with everybody who I meet. That's the simple gospel. But we have made the gospel so complicated. And so when we become Christ-focused in the last day, we live in the power of the simplicity of the gospel. And that simplicity of gospel tells us that Jesus is coming. We need to reach out for the lost before he comes. But when we are not Christ-focused, but end-time-focused, what do we build? What do we build? We build calendar. Calendar. Gaining knowledge and more knowledge as watcher and observer of time and season than living the life that God has called us to live. What do you want to be? You want to be an end time observer or you want to be Christ follower? Focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on Jesus Christ. So, Paul talked about before Jesus comes, that means to be the rapture of the church, then that needs to be the Antichrist made known to the world. So he asked the question, what is restraining this from happening? Here we come. Here we come to the next verse. verse 6 and verse 7. What is holding back Satan from doing what he wants to do to the world? Verse 6 and verse 7. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back? For he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back step out of the way. So Paul is saying that, look, what is holding back from all this thing? He said that there is someone that is restraining this. And who is the restrainer? The restrainer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He's the restrainer. You know? When we look at God's timetable, see the Bible, the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible can be divided into seven dispensations. Dispensation, the word means that God that ordered the world according to his providence. This world, Satan is not in control, say amen. God is in control. God may permit, but overall control belongs to God. So if you look at this Bible is divided into seven dispensations, seven periods. What period are we living in now? We are living in the sixth dispensation. The sixth dispensation starts when Christ was taken up and the Holy Spirit is given. The sixth dispensation is called this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So this is the dispensation, not just of the Holy Spirit. This is the dispensation of grace. And in this dispensation, when the restrainer is taken away, then the Bible tells us the seventh dispensation will begin. This world, your non-Christian friends may not love you, may not like you, may ridicule you, may say anything they want about you. But you know, though this world may not appreciate the value of the church, we are here as the light and the salt on this earth. Say amen to that. And as long as we are here, our presence here delay the coming judgment. It gives opportunity for those who are not saved to be saved. We need to realize that we have great importance in this place called earth. Amen? That we have a great importance. It's more important that we can think or imagine that God put us here for a purpose. And as long as we are here, this earth is spared from the coming judgment. How do I know? You remember Lot in the Old Testament, Lot? Where was he? He was in Sodom. And how bad was the place? The place was very bad. Even though Lot was not a perfect man, was not a dedicated man, but his presence in Sodom held back the judgment of God. The day when Lot stepped out of Sodom, judgment came upon them. Likewise, the day when the church is taken up, the Bible tells us the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, will step aside and will not restrain the force of evil as we've seen today. First event, second event. This third event will take place from verse 8 to verse 12. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the Antichrist, with his lies and deception, will perform signs and wonders with counterfeit power. That the Antichrist is able to do miracles. Don't chase after miracles, say amen. Chase after God. the power that the Antichrist has to perform these miracles was, it's not from God, but from Satan. Just like Pharaoh. Remember when Moses threw his rod, the rod became a serpent. Pharaoh said, you can do it. My magician also can do it. If you look from verse 8 to verse 12, then the man of lawlessness will be rebuked, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracle. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that will save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived and they will believe this lie. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. You see, many will be deceived by the Antichrist, his charm, his charisma, and his celebrity. Because the Bible says that these people simply do not love or accept the truth. Like a thief in the night, Jesus will suddenly return with his church in glory and power to defeat Satan and his hosts. The Antichrist will be judged, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. God's judgment will fall on the unsaved, on those who enjoy evil than believing the truth. But yet the Bible tells us, in the grace of God and in the mercy of God, according to Apostle John in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to verse 17, that great multitude of Gentiles will be saved during these 7 years of tribulation. The question you have to ask yourself in this last day is this: do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? Paul tells us, in the last day, many refuse to love and accept the truth. They prefer lies and deception to continue on with their sinful life and their sinful pleasure. We need to follow the examples of the Thessalonian believers. They love and they accept the truth. Say amen. They love and they accept the truth. And if you love and accept the truth, then there are full responsibility to the truth of God. There are four responsibilities. First responsibility is you need to believe the truth. Verse 13 to verse 14. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brother and sister, loved by the Lord. You are always thankful. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy through your belief in the truth. They believe the truth. If he calls you to salvation when he told you the good news, now you share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the truth. The Thessalonian believer believed the truth when the gospel was preached to them. In fact, the truth is the very foundation stone on which their life is built on. Because of the truth, they hear the truth, they believe the truth. Because of the truth, the Bible tells us they turn away from serving idol to serve the true and living God. Because of the truth, they experience the love of God. They experience salvation. They experience being set apart to become God's vessel of holiness. They share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the truth. All the blessing of the Thessalonian church was simply because they believe the truth in God's word and reject Satan's lie. A truth is truth, even when no one believes it. Do you know that? A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. The Thessalonian church believed the truth.
We always have a choice. The choice of believe the truth and be saved, or reject the truth and be lost. Make the right choice. The right choice is love the truth, embrace the truth, and believe the truth, and continue on with the truth. So, we need to believe the truth. Secondly, we need to guard the truth. Verse 15. With all this thing in my dear brother and sister, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching, the truth we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Paul is saying that the truth must be protected and guarded, not compromised or watered down for human consumption. We find that the truth of God's word has been changed so much so that the human being can say, it's good. It sounds wonderful. But the truth of God's word must never be compromised. Say amen. Must not be watered down to suit human consumption. Paul called them to stand firm, to stand fast. It means to have the strength to seek and retain, to have a strong grip on the teaching, on the truth of the gospel that was passed from Paul to them and from they to others. Today we are sitting here because somebody has spoke the truth of the gospel to us. In standing for the truth, we become stronger and stronger. And if we don't stand for the truth, we become weaker and weaker in conviction and in character. Every generation receives the truth from others. And every generation must guard and pass the truth to the next generation. God's truth must be respected and not be taken lightly. Paul, in writing to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, guard the truth. And now he called the Thessalonian believer to guard the truth. And you and I must guard the truth. And I'm asking you to guard the truth, not to water down the truth, to have a great crown, but rather guard the truth for the next generation. I need to believe the truth. I need to guard the truth. And lastly, I need to live in truth. Verse 16 and verse 17. And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, give us eternal comfort and wonderful hope. Comfort you and strengthen you in every good things you do and say. It's not enough to believe the truth. It's not enough to guard the truth. We must also live in truth, to experience the power of transformation. The truth that is in God's word is life. Jesus said, I am life. My truth is life. He said, I came in truth and in grace. That when you know the truth, and the truth that is shine upon your heart may be very difficult for you. But yet he said, by knowing the truth, I don't condemn you. By knowing the truth, I give you my grace, my empowerment, so that the truth is able to transform you and change you. Live in the truth. It's only when you live in the truth, you will experience the power of the truth. I wonder what would the world be if they take a look at the truth and start to embrace and believe the truth. This will be a better world. Homes will be a better home. Marriage will be a better marriage. Live in the truth. James put it this way in chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. He said, if you look at God's word, which is truth, you see and you don't practice it and you don't do it, you don't obey it, you're only fooling yourself. Because it's in God's word of truth that gives you comfort and wonderful hope. It's in God's word of truth that strengthens you, empowers you to do good work, empowers your words and your work, your saying and your doing. Live in truth. It is hard. They it's a price to live in truth. But the question is, who do you want to obey? Who do you want to honor, God or yourself? Lord, your word is truth. When the world said there is no absolute truth, and especially the second generation believers, second generation Christian, there is an absolute truth. The world do not believe, that is their problem. When I stand before God, God is going to ask me, do you believe what I say? Then, Paul said, don't allow all this fake news to influence how you see the Bible. Say amen. The Bible is the Bible. The Word is the Word. Then he said that, well, when we are living in a time where people don't want the truth, reject the truth, we are, and I are supposed to love the truth. We are supposed to believe the truth. We are supposed to guard the truth. And we are supposed to live in the truth. Living in the truth is the best way to guard the truth. You remember Lazarus? How many remember Lazarus in the Bible? He died. And then he was rose. And then he raised from the dead. Lazarus did not have to give a lecture on resurrection. The Bible says quite a lot of people came to see him. Whether is he Lazarus? Is he alive? He didn't have to give a lecture on resurrection. People came from near and far to look at him and believe. Let us make sure for our own life, when we live in truth, in our talk and in our walk, it becomes a testimony of the truth. Today I challenge you to grip on the truth. In a world that wants to change the truth, water the truth, and color code the truth. But Paul said, we need to have a grip on the truth so that we are able to pass to the next generation. And how do we do it? We need to believe the truth, guard the truth, and live the truth for ourselves and for the next generation to see the reality and the power of the truth of God in our life. I like this word, John 8:32. Then you will experience for yourself the truth, and the truth will free you. A grip on the truth.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.